Thank you. Regarding the mitzvah of sukkah, there are two machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim that are very crucial. Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus, Rabbi Lezer HaGadol, claims that just like the first 2 days of sukkah is in each halachem for the dalan minim, alakastam alachem, so too for the whole duration of sukkah, not only for the first 2 days, so too for the whole duration of sukkah is in each halachem for sukkah. And the Chachamim disagree. And that's how we paskin. Adam yetzidei chavasa, b'sikosu shalchavei. If you visit someone else's sukkah, you are yotze. Tosis says, yes, the kasha, according to Rav Lezer, you have a husband and a wife and they have 9 children. So who does the sukkah belong to? Belongs to the father or the parents. Doesn't belong to the children. So how are the children yotze? Everybody has to own the Zion al-Zion of the schach that's directly above him. That's ridiculous. Everyone has to sit in their own sukkah. How can he say such a thing? So Tosis says, Teshu kein taduru, that since all year long they sit in the parents' home, so too on sukkahs, they yotze with the parents' sukkah. So what does it mean that you need shalachem? We're not sure exactly how Rav Lezer visualizes that's on daf chob zayinu in base. Tanya Rav Lezer rami, kishen shein on yotze dechavasa biyontav rishon shal chag, first day sukkahs. But the law of Shalchaver, you need Shalachem, Alakachtam, Alachem, by Yom Arishon. Kach, ain't on him Yetzidech of us, it sounds like it's not only on the first day. You're not Yetzidech of us, because of Shalchaver, Chagostukas Tasa Lacha, Mishalcha. But Chacham and Marmim, we don't pass like Reb Lezer. Okay, that's one Machlegis of Lezer and Chacham. And then the Mishnah has another Machlegis of Lezer and Chacham. And Chav Zayin Amar Aleph, Reb Lezer says, you have to eat all the meals in the same sukkah. If you go misukkah, if you yotze misukkah lasukkah, you eat one meal over here, one meal in the shul sukkah, one meal by a friend, and some meals in your own sukkah, then you're not yotze the mitzvah. You have to eat all the meals, all of sukkahs, in one sukkah. And the pashtus is that we don't pass on like Reb Lezer on the second issue either. The problem is that in Maharil, he recommends that people should be choshish Reb Lezer shita. This Rav Lezer sheet about eating all the meals in the same sukkah. Ma pitom? Why should we be chosh Rav Lezer? The Gemara says Rav Lezer shamutehu. Rav Lezer was from the Beis Shammai. That's what Rashi says. Gemara says Rav Lezer shamute. That's why we don't pasken like Rav Lezer. So Rashi says Rav Lezer shamute means they put him in shamta. They put him in cheirim. Gemara tells in the end of Perek Hazov that he used to disagree with the Chachamim all the time, and he was always in the minority, and he used to make a big stink. He let everybody know that he was in disagreement with them. So they couldn't take it anymore. So his brother-in-law was the chief rabbi, Rabbi Gamliel. So he had to put him in Shamta. That's what Rashi learns. But I'm Paskar Blazer because Shamute, we put him in Cheram because he was giving everybody a hard time. Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi that Shamute means he was from the Beis Shammai. It's a question. Some claim that they never really put him in Shamta. They took an edit to treat him as if he were in Cheram, but they never really put him in Cheram. That's a question. But so why should the Maharil tell us that we should be choshish v'shitas Rav Lezer over here? So there's a sefer on Hilchas Rosh Hashanah Yom HaSukkah that's called the Mate Ephraim. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it every page. He always has something original to say. So they have footnotes on the bottom of the page. Some of the footnotes are by the author of the Mate Ephraim and others by later Gedolim. So one of the later Gedolim has this suggestion that there is a machlokes in the Gemara in the first parak. How do you translate the words in the pasuk? Man yeder derasechin ki basukos hoshavti es bnei Yisrael b'hotziyos me'eretz Mitzrayim. What is sukkahs referring to? So there's a machlokes hatanaim whether sukkahs mamish or sukkahs means anani hakovid. So the Tur quotes this machlokes and he says the accepted opinion is anani hakovid. Why does the Tur have, the Bach asks on the Tur, why does the Tur have to take a stand on a machlokes in Agarata? There's no nafkimina halacha lemaisa, whether pshat and the pasuk is sukkas mamish or anani akovet. The Tur only takes a stand on halacha issues, not on parshonas amikra. What's the relevance over here? So the Bach comes up with a famous chiddush that there is a machlokes whether mitzvah sichas kavana, mitzvah saint sichas kavana. That means they need kavanah lotzeis or not. You have to have in mind that I'm doing this in order to be yotze the mitzvah. But to have kavana for the reason for the mitzvah, the background of the mitzvah, nobody says mitzvah sichas kavana. You have to have kavana. What's the reason for lulav and esek? You don't have to. So the Bach comes up with a chiddush. But if the chumash itself says you should sit in sukkah l'man yedid erasechin kepasukos hashavtei is b'nei Yisrael, the chumash says the reason for the mitzvah right next to the mitzvah. So then the Bach says apparently the Torah is of the opinion that the kavana for the tama mitzvah is likuva. When you sit in sukkah, you have to have this kavana in mind. So the Torah has to take a stand. What is the kavana that you're supposed to have when you sit in sukkah? So the Torah takes a stand and he holds that it's anani hakovet. It's not sukkah's mamish, anani hakovet. This taking a stand is also questionable. Who said which way? One Tana was Rabbi Akiva, and the other Tana, I think, is Rabbi Lezer also. I forgot already. So it's a question, which Tana said that usually we would accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion? So the Torah claims that we accept the opinion that it's anani hakovet. So then this one of the Gedolim tries to explain why the Maharil recommended you should be choshish for Ablezer Shita. So he says, this machlekes Ablezer Nachachomim, whether you can be yotzek if you hop from one sukkah to the other, and you eat one meal in one sukkah, and another meal one day in one sukkah, another day in a different sukkah, whether you yotzek or not, this really should depend on the machlekes of whether the sukkahs in the Midbar is referring to Anani HaKovid, or it's referring to sukkahs Mamash. Referring to Anani HaKovid, then they had the same Anani HaKovid for all the 40 years straight. So then you have to have one sukkah throughout the 7 days of sukkahs. But if you hold the sukkahs mamish, so then what? So the assumption is, when they moved away from this location, they left the sukkah there. They didn't schlep it with them. Why should they schlep their heavy boards? When they'll come to the new location, they'll chop down some trees and they'll make a new sukkah. Who says there are trees growing in the Midbar? Maybe they're going to schlep it with them. So that's the suggestion that he makes. So he says, if you say like that, that the machlekes satanaim, whether you're yotzim yidei choyves mitzvah sukkah, if you go misukkah lesukkah, or you have to say dafka in the same sukkah, say that depends on the shaila whether anani akovet or sukkah's mamish, and the tour took his stand and he paskens anani akovet, then it follows that you should pasken like Rab Lezer, that you have to have the same sukkah for all 7 days. But the Pashtus is not so. Anyway, it's a problematic Maharil. Maharil makes that statement. Maharil says you should be machma for the sheet of Rab Lezer that you have to eat all the meals on the sukkah. Nobody does that. Everybody visits other people on sukkahs. The Gemara talks a lot about noye sukkah. Noye sukkah hanging from the schach and noye sukkah hanging from the walls. And the Gemara says not only the sukkah is hooked to the mitzvah, even the noye sukkah is also hooked to the mitzvah. So the Pashtus is that the idea behind noye sukkah is we usually say the idea behind Noye Sukkah is that Kelev Yanveil. It's not a fun of a mitzvah. You have to have nice tefillin, a nice tefillin zekel, a nice talis noyim. Everything has to be pretty. So to beautify the sukkah is also Noye Mitzvah, that Kelev Yanveil. Ram Soloveitchik thought that it's a little more than that, that it's a hidur in the mitzvah of sukkah. Because sukkahs has to be teshuva kein todura. You have to sit in the sukkah the same way you sit in your home. So in a person's home, they put carpets on the floor, and they put drapes on the walls, and they put paintings or photographs on the wall to beautify the home. So if you enhance the beauty of the sukkah, then you're enhancing the mitzvah of sukkah. It's more teshuva kein todura. In Yiddish folklore, the vart used to be that if you don't talk Lashon Hara in the sukkah, you're not yotze, because teshuva kein todura. You have to sit in the sukkah exactly the same way you sit at home. So the Mishnah, the one who wrote the Mishnah Brura knew that that's what the Pitgama Mami said. So in the Mishnah Brura, he writes, usually he quotes things from Marmakam, but once in a while he writes something he has no Marmakam. So he writes in the middle of nowhere, you're not allowed to do a dova meguna in a sukkah, you're not allowed to diaper a baby in a sukkah, you're not allowed to leave dirty pots in the sukkah after you finish serving the soup or whatever. You have to take the pots out of the sukkahs. You don't leave the pots in the dining room. When you finish serving, even if you serve from the pot, then you don't leave the pots in the dining room. You take it into the kitchen. You leave it in the kitchen. And you don't leave the dirty plates too long. And after everybody finished eating, you leave the dirty plates a little bit, but then take them off. So the same is true regarding the sukkah. There's even, the Mishnah Berurah even quotes, there's one opinion in the Rishonim that you're not yotze even b'dieved. If you left the dirty pots there, or you left the dirty plates, then you're not yotze b'dieved. That's a difficult sheet. The Mishnah Berurah quotes one of the Rishonim, says, I think the Ravid holds like that. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, you're not allowed to do a daven meguna in the sukkah. So to talk lashon hara in the sukkah is a double aver, that you're talking lashon hara and you're doing a daven meguna in the sukkah. It's a bizoin to the sukkah. The reason why he writes it is because that was Yiddish folklore. He knew that that's the way people used to say that you're not yotzei in the mitzvah unless you talk lashon hara. Has to be teish v'kein tadur. The Gemara has a din of lovewood. The Gemara says in the beginning of Sukkah, the Gemara has a statement that Shiurin Chatzitzin and Mechitzin Ahalacha L'Moshe Misina. So the Gemara explains, what do you mean Mechitzin Ahalacha L'Moshe Misina? That Mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall. Where is there a pasuk in Chumash for that? That must be Ahalacha L'Moshe Misina. So the Gemara beginning of Sukkah has a machlokes, depends on a machlokes Atanoim. So one Tana says, I don't need a halacha l'moshe misina, I can figure it out on my own, that a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall. So what then is that? But we have a tradition, shiurin chatzitzin and a mechitza is halacha l'moshe misina. What do you need? What aspect of mechitza do you need halacha l'moshe misina for, if not for the height of 10 tefachim? So one Tana says, I'd never figure it out on my own, I need a halacha l'moshe misina. The other Tana says, no, that I would know on my own. So what is the mechitza halacha l'moshe misina for? So the Gemara says, l'nitzach ela, the good, the lovud, the doifan akuma. These two you would never figure out on your own. Halachal Moshe Messina, the Rambam writes in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMashanah, Halachal Moshe Messina means a chunk of Torah Shebal Peh where there's no way to read it in between the lines. Usually there's a way to darshan in the psukim. You switch from Lashon Zachar to Lashon Nekevi, you switch from Lashon Yachar to Lashon Rabban. There's an extra word, there's a klala prat. There's an extra letter, something is written funny, Malei Chasa, something. And halachal moshe misina means that there's no midah shatar in the dresh, it's purely transmitted, like we said, that in the dorim, porchim bo'avir, it's just orally transmitted. So the Gemara says, la nitzuch elu, la good, the lovud, the doifan akuma. So doifan akuma, we discussed yesterday. If you have schach posel near the edge of the sukkah, near the tvanas, I consider it as if the doifan bends over, as if the tvanas bend over, and even though the schach is 1 or 3 tvachim away from the tvanas, it's good, because I say that's all. That's an extension of the Tvanis. And you say that up until Dalaramas. You can't say Doifan Akuma for more than Dalaramas. So Doifan Akuma we know. And good means good asik and good aches. That if you have a mchitza that's suspended, it doesn't really touch the ground, but it reaches within 3 tochim to the ground. So then you say good aches mchitza. Good means stretch. You visualize as if you're stretching the mchitza down. And then let's say you have the Tvanis, and then the schach is 5 feet above the tvanis. The tvanis are over here, only 10 tvachim tall, 40 inches tall, and the schach is 6 feet higher than that, 10 feet higher than that. Plus 10 feet is Esri Mama? I don't know. Maybe. No, 10 feet can't be Esri Mama. So if you have, let's say, the schach is 10 feet high, 10 feet tall, and the tvanis are only 40 inches tall, and the schach is above it. So then you say, good, asik mechitza. You visualize it if you stretch up the mechitza and it goes up as if it reaches the schach, because it has to be within 3 tvachim. Yeah, that's a machlokes. Let's say the schach is in the middle of the sukkah. If the tvanis would have been all the way up here, then schach would have been within 3 tvachim to the tvanis, but the tvanis are only 10 tvachim tall. So do you say two halachal moshe misinas together? You visualize as if the defanis continue to go up. You have to have a doifan that begins with 10 tvachim tall. If you have a doifan that's 7 tvachim tall and it's within lover to the ground, so that lover is considered kisas medami. So then it's considered as if the doifan has 10 tvachim. But let's say you have a doifan of 10 tvachim tall and then you have 10 feet missing, the doifan doesn't go so high. So then you say good asik mechitza. You visualize as if you're stretching the mechitza up, as if it goes all the way up. And then if the schach is within 3 tvachim of where the mechitza would have been if you would have stretched it up, so then the Shulchan Aruch says that it's good. Rabbi Kivega on the bottom of the page quotes the Ran on the Rif, on Sukkah, who disagrees and says, that lovud is halacha l'moshe misina, and good asik is halacha l'moshe misina. So you want to say two halachas l'moshe misina, but makam echot. If you have over here doifan akum and he halavud, that's not trei hilchas abahadi hadadi. That's one halachal moshe misina over there, one halachal moshe misina over there. We do that all the time. You have shtaim kelchas mashlishis afilu tefach, then we had lovud all over the place. So you can say many different halachas l'moshe misina. But to say two halachas l'moshe misina, each one enables the other one to set in. it's only called lavut. The schach doesn't reach directly above the tfanis. The schach is lavut to where the tfanis would have been if they would have been stretched up all the way. So in Shulchan Aruch it says the mechaber paskens lahakel that it is okay. You say good asik mechitza. You visualize that if you're stretching out, good means meshoch, stretches. If you stretch up, the mechitza is directly straight above. And then you say lavut over there. Rabbi Kivega quotes the Ran who questions whether you can say that. So the Gemara says that you need mechitzin halachal Moshe Mesina is for good lavud and doifen akuma. So what does it mean lavud? So the simple reading of the Gemara, that lavud is a din of mechitzis. That's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos and Bava Kama and other mesichtas. How high do you have to pick something up to be koine with the kinyan hakbo? So Rashi claims that you need 3 tvachim. If you pick something up less than 3 tvachim, so I say lavud, and it's considered as if it's still sitting on the table, or as if it were still sitting on the floor. It's considered as if you never picked it up. And Tosfos disagrees that it says mafurish in the Gemara that you kind of with hagbar tefach, you don't need 3 tvachim. Rashi invokes the din of lavud. So Tosfos says lavud is a halacha l'moshe mesina that only belongs in the area of mechitzas. That's what Gemara says. Good lavud v'doif and akuma, the 3 dinim of halacha l'moshe mesina within mechitzas. But it doesn't apply to areas outside of mechitzas. So the question is, but we always say lavud in the schach. We always have holes in the schach. So how do you apply lavud to the schach? So the Ran explains on the Rif, the schach is also mechitza. Mechitza means it separates this makom. Usually we visualize a makom as 2-dimensional. So by sukkah, the halacha says that the makom is 3-dimensional. It has zayin al zayin begovayud. The whole thing is a makom. And then you have mechitzas that are makif, the makom. So the halacha says you need defanas, mechitzas that are, what do you call these, vertical? These are called vertical. Then you have the schach on top, that's a horizontal mechitza. Then the halacha says that you need a floor also. Not only do you need a floor, because otherwise you're going to fall through. There's nowhere to sit. Let's say if you have a balloon that's floating in the air, and you have a kosher sukkah, and everything, and your chair is floating, everything is floating. The halacha says that you're not yotze the mitzvah of sukkah. The sukkah requires a floor. It's a beferish mishnah. The mishnah talks about sukkah shetachas ha-sukkah, that the upper sukkah has to have a floor in order to be kosher. And it's a machlokes ha-tanaim, how sturdy the floor has to be, that the upper sukkah should be kosher. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that sukkah has to be diras keva. So if the floor on top is wobbly, so then the upper sukkah is not kosher. And if you hold the way we pass them, the sukkah diras haroi, so a wobbly floor is also okay. But if you have no floor at all, it's no good.
As a sukkah ala gamma works.
If you have a
sukkah ala gamma.
A sukkah?
Ala gamma on the back of an
animal? Yeah.
Therefore?
You got to have a floor. You have to have a floor suspended on the back of the animal. Yeah. Or the animal has to be very fat, has to have zayin al zayin on the back of the animal. Yeah, that's halacha. Sukkah has to have a floor. That's beferish. So the Ran explains like that. The reason why we allow lavud in schach is because I love it. According to Tosfos Shita, lavud is a din and mechitzas only. So mechitzas are not only the vertical mechitzas, what we call the tvanas. The schach is also mechitzas. The Gemara points out in the first perek that even though you say lovin in the schach and the sukkah is good, but ein yishenim tachtav, you can't sit under the hole in the ceiling. Even though it's lovin, you can't sit there. So every sukkah is based on lovin. That's impossible. How is that? How can you ever sit in any sukkah? Every sukkah has tiny little holes. Because the holes are less than gimel tefachim, so you always say lovin. It's impossible to say nishenim tachtav. So Tosfos explains the only time the Gemara meant to say you can't sleep on nishenim tachtav. Can't sleep, you can't eat. You're not yotze in the mitzvah. If you sit on the avir, even though the avir is kesosim based on the principle of lovewood, that's only if it's a lovewood. If it's a crack al pnei kula, let's say you have slats. Or you have slats is the best thing. Years ago, everybody used to use slats. So the slats all went in the same direction. And you have a crack in the schach that goes from one end of the sukkah to the other. The bigger the sukkah is, so the more highly unlikely it's going to be that you're going to have a crack that goes all the way across. So years ago, that was the common practice in America. Everybody used to use slats on a sukkah. So David Feinstein printed 45 years ago, you should make sure that you take one slat and put it the other direction. So you won't have a crack that goes alternate kula, because that's how Tosfos interprets the Gemara. That if you had lovewood, Zen Yishenim Tachto. That means if it's a crack of lovot al pnei kulay. The Gemara talks about the din that on Ches on the base, the Gemara has a din that the sukkah has to be mesuchachas ubevatshetay mesuchachas kihilchosa. Even though the goy put up the schach, it's good according to the base hillel. You don't need asiyah lishma. The shamai requires asiyah lishma, so goy doesn't have the mitzvah of sukkah. So the alpidin is mufka from creating lishma. Well, we don't paskin like Bishama, so we paskin the sukkah put up by goy is kosher. So the Gemara says if the sukkah was put up by goy is good, and then it says provided levad shetei misuchechas kihilchosa. What does that mean kihilchosa? It means you meet silosam ruben mechamosa. What does that phrase mean? So the Ran on the Rif on that Gemara says on chesam beis that misuchechas kihilchosa means that gishamim yoredim. If you put, let's say, you have to have for the schach purposes, you have to have gedule karka tolush, a dovish eni mekabel tumah. So what if you have a big wooden board, a big slab of plywood, and absolutely no rain comes in at all? I make wooden walls, a wooden schach, one big piece of wood. So it doesn't rain in at all. So the Ran says that's no good menater. That's a psul menater. A machlekes, but it has to be diras keva, diras harab, but it can't be beisel shal kolah shana kula. That's also on chesam and beis. If that's where you live all year long, that's not good. You have to pick up the schach, put it down again, l'shem sukkah. And then, if the nature of the sukkah is such that it doesn't rain in, then it's a bichlal, it's no good. The Mishnah says that even though you have a lot, so much schach, the ena kochavim nirim mitoche, you can't see the stars, so the Mishnah says that it's still acceptable. So from that Mishnah, the Rishonim infer that you see that l'chatchili, you're really supposed to be able to see the stars. But if you don't see the stars, the Mishnah says that that's not miyake b'riyev. But if you can't even rain in, that's on the top of chav beis amir aleph. The Mishnah says, tzilosam ru mechamasa, mu'uvo kimin bayis. It's such thick schach like in a house. Afal pishena kochavim nirim mitoch haksher. That's the top line, the top Mishnah, chav beis amir aleph. So even though you can't see the stars, l'chatchili, you should be able to see the stars, but you have to go without. But if it can't rain in, then it's no good at all. The Mishnah says if it rains on Sukkot, it's Moshe Lamad Abadai Malevich and Moshe Kos LeRabbi. The butler is serving the master, so he pours a cup of wine, and the Odon is angry at the Eved, so he takes the wine and he throws it in his face. So if it rains on Sukkot, the Mefarshim say means in Eretz Yisrael. If it rains in Eretz, it rains in America, always rains in America on Sukkot. Chutz Lartz, there is no dry season. Where we live, there is no dry season. But in Eretz, that's normally in the dry season, so it's very rare that it should rain on Sukkot. I remember once I was in Eretz for Sukkot on the second day of Yontov. The telephone, we were staying at the apartment of a relative of ours who lives in Canada. He wasn't there, so he gave his permission to use his home. So the telephone was ringing, second day Yontov, so he didn't answer. Kept on ringing a few times, an hour's pause in between. Then someone's ringing the bell. So we went to answer the bell, so they said, oh, we'll be calling you on the phone. So I said, Bayas is Yantav. Oh, it didn't occur to them, because by them is Chalamay, the second day Yantav. So they came with a shaila that apparently Yeshivas Karen B'Yavna always has the annual dinner in Eretz Yisrael on the second night Chalamay, and they predicted a lot of rain, so they wanted to know, should they set up inside or outside? So I said, there are not enough rabbis in Eretz Yisrael. They asked the shaila, they said, in Eretz Yisrael never rains. So no one ever has the shayla. In America, they need a guy who has the shayla all the time. So they need an American rabbi who lives in America. It always rains. Anyway, so I told them they should set up inside, and it's a good thing because it was sopping wet outside. It was wasn't shayla to eat outside. So the Rishonim explained, the Achrenim explained on that mission that if it rains in Eretz Yisrael on Sukkot, that's the dry season. Then it's a simen ra, as if the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want, he's not interested in our mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. But in Chutz Lartz, if it rains, it's not a simen ra at all. So the Rishonim say on that Gemara, why is it a simen ra if it rains? Make schach that it won't rain in. So he said, the Ran says, so you see, on chesam and beis, bevat shetem yisrachechas ki ulchasa, ulchasa means that if it can't rain in, then the whole sukkah is pasul. Has to be able to rain in. Yeah. The Mishnah has a din midrabbanon that you're not allowed to use gzeres nesorim. In a Torah, you can use a whole piece of plywood that's so wide, but if it doesn't rain in, then it'll be possible. You have to make a couple of holes here and there, then it should be able to have a little rain. And with the Rabbanan, they made a chumrah that if you'll allow people to sit in a sukkah with such a wide board of wood, so people will say, why should I sit in the sukkah? I can sit at home. They used to sit in wooden, they used to have wooden huts, not like us. We have plaster on the ceiling. Most of them had wooden bungalows. So the roof looked the same as the roof of the sukkah. So except the difference was that the sukkah had smaller slats and the home had wider boards. So the Tanoim made a gzer the Rabbanon that you're not allowed to use wide nisorim, wide beams for the schach. There's a machlokes HaTanoim, how wide do the beams have to be that it should be a gzeris nisorim. So that's machlokes. More than three tvachim is already, less than three tvachim is less than lavud. More than three tvachim is already lavud, but they need a shear of dalat tvachim. So we pass on Allah a dalat tvachim. Any neser, any board that's narrower than four tvachim wide, so that according to the din and the gemara, that would be acceptable. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim, the later Rishonim, I think that goes Maimonides on the Rambam, that they had a chumrah, maybe you shouldn't even use narrower than four tvachim, because in the days of the later Rishonim, they used to live in homes, they used to live in bungalows that had narrower slats. So they wanted to extend the Gzeres Nesarim from the days of the Tanoim, that we paskin from the days of the Tanoim only in Nesar, that's four tefachim wide. So the later Rishonim said that Gzeres Nesarim is manazeh, should even apply if it's much less than that. Yeah, but manazeh, we don't live in bungalows. We never see any Nesarim on the ceiling. So we're not mechuyev. The halacha is not frozen. We're not mechuyev to observe the chumrah from the Rishonim. If Bizman is that has no place, has no room, the gzerif and the tanoim we observe. You can't use an eser that's four tefachim wide. But we're not mechuyev to observe the additional chumrah that the Rishonim added on that doesn't apply Bizman is that. Then the Mishnah has this gzerif of chavilo. If a farmer will come home with a bundle of hay and put it on top, he has the frame of the sukkah sitting there, plans to put his chach on top. And then he puts a bundle of hay on top of the frame of the sukkah to dry out in the sun. And then he's going to feed it to the behemoth or something. Then he decides, hey, I may as well use it. Let me leave the hay there. And that'll be the schach. So the Gemara says that'll be a psul deraisa of tasa v'lemenosa. Because you have to put it at least l'shem tzel. Machlek is b'sham and b'sil only was whether you have to put the schach l'shem mitzvah. Or is it sufficient if you do l'shem tzel? But if you put it k'dei l'yabesh, to dry out in the sun, and then you change your mind, you're going to leave it there and let it serve as the roof of the sukkah. So that's tasav l'amenos. So the Gemara says, even if you have a bundle, Tosafot says, what's the shear of a bundle? So they quote Yerushalmi, a minimum of 25 twigs. So if you have a bundle of 25 twigs or more tied up together, even if you put it l'shem schach, it's possible with the Rabbanan, because it may happen, you may put it on top of the frame of the sukkah just k'dei l'yabesh, and then you'll decide to leave it as schach, and that'll be a psul deraisa. So they passed whenever you have a gzeres chavil. The Beis Yosef quotes a Tshuvas HaRashbo, which did not make its way into the Shulchan Aruch. The Rashbo writes a possibility that there's a gzeres nesarim, even if each neser per se is half an inch wide. It's not four tefachim wide. Four tefachim is like this. It's not four tefachim wide. Each one is a quarter of an inch wide, but they're all tied up together. So that's all of our mats are like that. The mat has much more than dalat tefachim wide, but each slat of wood is less than dalat tefachim. So years ago when they started using the mat, so somehow people realized that Rabbi Yashiv didn't want to use it. So some nudnik kept on pestering him to find out why doesn't he want to use the mats. So he finally blurted out, because the Beis Yosef quotes the Rashba, he didn't want to say anything, because whatever he says, it becomes halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. And the whole Bnei Brak and everybody, Meir Sharm, everybody's machmer like Rav Al-Yash. He didn't want to say. But some nudnik pestered him, and then they printed it. The one who wrote Oz Nidberu. In one of the 20 volumes of Oz Nidberu, I think what happened was Rav Binyamin Zilber wrote a sefer on Hilchos Shabbos. And then people sent him letters, and he sent them back responses. So he printed a volume, Oz Nidberu. The correspondence back and forth on Hasef and Hilchos Shabbos. Then they started sending letters on Kol HaTorah Kula. It was a Shnas HaShmita, and then they sent letters about Eben Ezra, and sent letters about Choshen Mishpat. So he printed around 20 volumes of Oz Nidberu, correspondence about everything under the sun. I think the Chazanish used to call him Rabbi Yamin HaTzadik, Rabbi Yamin Zilber. The last few years before he passed away, he was in disfavor because he voted the wrong way in the politics. He didn't go along with the party line of the Degel HaTorah. So they treated him as if he was in Chaim. Alamol Ben HaTzadik, the holy Tzadik, Big Tam HaChachem, put out beautiful Svarim. So he was the one, he writes in one of his Svarim that he pestered Rabbi Yashin until he found out. So he printed the secret. Rabbi Yashin said he personally wants to be Choshish for this Chuvus HaRashbam, that it's Exeris and Svarim, even though each slat per se is less than four Tfochim wide. But since all of them are attached together, so maybe there's Exeris and Svarim even on that. Yeah, but it didn't make its way to the Shulchan Aruch, so that's why it's not we're not chayshish for that. Basically, we're not chayshish for that. The Gemara has a din. What if you have a sukkah in the schachas lemaile me'asher mamas? So that's the opening mishnah that it's no good. The Gemara gives three reasons why we paskin that it's no good, and it's a big debate in the Rishonim which reason we accept l'alacha. The famous reason is because it's a diras keva. The sukkah has to be a diras avra, and that's a diras keva. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. What if you made such a sukkah gvoi lemaile me'asher mama, bo lemato? Then you want to make the schach lower. How are you going to make the schach lower? I raised the level of the floor. When I raise the level of the floor, so then I'm machsha the whole sukkah. So the Gemara says, well, if I just put a couple of mattresses there temporarily, so I wasn't mevatel them to the floor, so then it's still lemaile me'asher mama. I have to plan to leave it there permanently. What I put on the floor I have to plan to leave it there permanently. So that's a big machlekes Rashi Niran. What do you mean by permanently? Permanently means for the duration of the 7 days of Sukkot. From the perspective of Sukkot, that's Li'ol HaMavod. Sukkot looks from his own. The Yont of Sukkot is looking at the situation. From the perspective of Sukkot, if the 7 days are over, the world comes to an end. There's no Sukkot, no world, nothing exists. That's what Rashi holds, that you have to plan to leave it there kavua for the 7 days of Sukkot. And the Ran and other Rishonim say, no, you have to plan to leave it there indefinitely. There's such a din in Baba Basra also, and Afchof, that's a din of Rokik. Rokik Enim and Mayit Bachalon. If you have a dead body in one room, and there's a window, Tefach al Tefach, open, and the tumor goes through from this room to the hallway, so whoever's in the hallway is going to become Tamei. So what if I put, what if I block up the window with, I take a couple of books, and I block the window. So the Gemara says, you put a couple of books, you block up the window, you're not going to leave the books there permanently, you're just going to leave it there temporarily. So that's not memayit bachalon. A rokik means some food, that's roi l'achilos odam, roi l'achilos behemo. So you're not going to waste it and leave it there permanently, you're just going to leave it there temporarily. So rokik ain't a memayit bachalon. It doesn't make it that it's less than a tefach al tefach. You have the chalon, it's a tefach al tefach. It's maybe a satumah, so you have to put something there to memayit, the tefach ha tefach, you should leave it there permanently. So there is also a machlekes harishonim. There is a machlekes, the Tosfos on the last daf of Masechet Shabbos, on the last Mishnah Masechet Shabbos, they talk about it. How long do you have to plan to leave the thing in a chaloin, that it should be what's called permanently? Kol zman shatumah sham. The Chaber Kaddisha is going to come right after Havdalah. They're going to take the mace out. Let's say the guy died on Shabbos. The Gemara Megillah has a case. A guy died on Shabbos, and he died in shul. Someone got a heart attack, and he died in shul. So the mace is muktzi. You can't move the mace out. The kohanim can't come into the shul. So there were two rooms in the shul. So they had a big Aron Kodesh, and they moved the Aron Kodesh in front of the opening from one room to the other, so it blocked the whole opening. So it was soysim the whole thing. So the Rishonim asked, but you're not going to leave the Aron Kodesh there permanently. You're going to move it back where it belongs. It belongs on the Mizochvant, whatever. Doesn't belong over there. So some Rishonim say that they plan to leave it there, kol zman shehatum hasham. That's called ilomus. Just like on Sukkot, Rashi says if you put the karmic sauces there, planning to leave it, kol shiva, that's called bitl ilomus, or kol zman shehatum hasham. As long as the mace is going to be in the room, I'm going to leave the Aron Kodesh down. I'm only going to move back the Aron Kodesh after the Chevek Kaddish, remove the mace. For the perspective of the Tumas Meis, that's Eilomis. And other Rishonim disagree. They say, no, it has to be Eilomis. I said, what's with the Aron Kodesh? The Tosfos gives a different answer over there. So there's so when you learn this din in Shulchan Aruch, there's a questionable Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says that this whole din that you have to have bittel, that a bittel ashur is not acceptable. He says it's only a chumra midirabbanon. And since the whole machlek is Rashi and Iran, is only on a din derabbanon, you can be makel. The bittel for 7 days of Sukkot is sufficient. So it's very questionable whether that's whether the Mishnah Brura is right or not. That's a bir halacha. Very questionable. He brings a rai from a Gemara in Erevin that that one can dingzach very stark with. He thinks that the whole din of that you need bittel, you really need bittel, that a temporary leaving of the thing there is not the mayit, is only midirabbanon to begin with. So that's highly questionable. The sukkah is huktzeh l'mitzvasai. The Gemara Tesa Amud Aleph learned it out from the pasuk chag asukkah, as we discussed yesterday, hukish l'chag. This additional level of interpretation, I read the pasuk sukkah stasa l'chol shivas yam, you should construct the sukkah, but the word chag is there, so it means the sukkah is hukish to a korban chagigah. Shem shachal shem shemayim ala chagigah, ka chal shem shemayim ala sukkah. So this means you're not allowed to get hanoah from the schach. According to the Rambam, even the Tfan is coming to the Rosh, only the Schach. What if you're not going to get Hanoah? I'm just going to be Mevatalit b'mitzvah. So let's say there's a businessman in the middle of Manhattan, and he rents space. He has to go to work on Chalamoid, and he rents an area there. And he puts up a sukkah to eat his meals there in the sukkah. Then he's going to leave the sukkah till after Yontif, till after Simchas Torah. They're going to charge him money. He's not going to be there. He wants to take down the sukkah on the fourth day, Chol HaMoed. He doesn't need it there. It's not going to be the Hoshana Rabbah. It's not going to be the Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah. So there is a sefer that's called Pischei Tshuva on Orech Chaim. We have the Shari Tshuva next to the Behetiv. So that was written by Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius and his brother. So he lived a long time ago, and he lived before the Chasam Sefer. He never quotes Chasam Sefer, hardly ever quotes any Nodi Yehudas either. He doesn't quote all the later Achronim. So there's a Sefer Pischei Tshuva, the Mishnah Brura writes in the Haggadah. He's going to use the Pischei Tshuva. In fact, every so often the Mishnah Brura quotes a Tshuva Sefer, Agura Bohalecho, or some exotic sefer. Whenever he quotes a Shalas V'Tshuva, Rabbi Kadeg, or anything that's not on the daf, he's always quoting it from the Pischei Tshuva. And whatever the Pischei Tshuva didn't quote.
Is this the same as the Pischei Tshuva Neridah?
No, a different author. Pischei Tshuva and Aruch Chaim is a thin little sefer, tiny little sefer, and it's written by one of the Dayanim in Vilna, Rabbi Yisrael Isser. I don't know who he was. And the Mishnah Brura says, every so often I'll say, I'm Pischei Tshuva. Rather than quote the whole thing, he says, just look on the Pischei Tshuva, because different opinions. And usually he doesn't quote the Pischei Tshuva, he'll quote the Achranim that were quoted by the Pischei Tshuva. He doesn't quote other Achranim. Whoever's not Meforshim on the Daf in Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't quote unless it's quoted by the Pischei Tshuva. That's the way he wrote the Sefer. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes that this was a machloikis, quotes from the Ikori Hadat. Ikori Hadat was in Italy, generations before. So there was a machloikis, whether that's a violation of Huktzeh L'mitzvah. I'm not going to be nana at all from the sukkah, but I'm going to be mevatel et mitzvah. I'm going to take down the whole sukkah on Hashanah Rabbah, or on Chol HaMoed, because I don't plan to use it anymore. So the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to take down the sukkah on Hashanah Rabbah. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to. So Rashi says because you may want to eat another meal. So is that a practical eitzah? You may want to eat another meal, so don't be stupid. Don't take it down. You may need it yet. Or Rashi is explaining why al pi din. Since you may want to eat another meal, so it's still hooked to the mitzvasai, and the hooked to the mitzvasai includes not only that you're not allowed to get hanoah from it, you're not allowed to be mevatlet mitzvasai even without getting hanoah from it. So it's interesting. There used to be a practice. Some people still do it now. It's an expensive practice that they go to the Esrog merchant on Erev Sukkos, and they buy up all the Esrogim that are left, and they hang the Esrogim in the Sukkah as Noye Sukkah. Sometimes they'll charge you a lot of money. At the last minute, the Erev Yom doesn't make sense. Why should he charge that much money? Well, once in a while, someone got stuck, and they have to buy an Esrog on Chol HaMoed. So the Esrog merchant may not be willing to sell you 5 Esrogim, 10 Esrogim for a dollar. He may charge a lot of money for it. But many people had such a practice. They would hang up Esrogim as noye sukkah. So that would become huktzah and mitzvah. So those esrogim, you're not allowed to eat them. What if someone needs an esrog to be yotzei dechayvus on mitzvah? So there's a tshuva sefer. There's a sefer on Chosh Mishpat that's called Shar HaMishpat. In other yeshivas, it's very popular. Here, I don't know why. In our yeshiva, no one ever used it. I don't even know if they have it in the base medrash. Shar HaMishpat, he was a rabbi in Italy, if I'm not mistaken. And he was a mechutna of the Nariv Yehuda. His child married the child of the Nariv Yehuda. So he has a sefer, Shalas Yeshivas, that's called Nachla Sovais. And it's quoted with respect by the later poskim. His sefer Shar HaMishpat is quoted respectfully by the later poskim. So he says that if you have an esrog that's huksel and mitzvasai on the yontif, it's muktzah, so you can't handle it. Even if it fell down, you're not allowed to handle it. Banach alamoid, it's huksel and mitzvasai, you're not allowed to eat it, but it's not muktzah. There's no isah tilt on muktzah. You can handle money on chalamoid. But the question is, the fact that the esrog is huksel and mitzvasai, does that prohibit you from taking it down and using it to be yotzei dechayvas mitzvahs dalad minim or not? So he holds that that's an isa. And the later achrenim, the Chassam Sefer quotes what he wrote and he disagrees. Most disagree with him. They say, what are you talking about? Mitzvahs lavalei honest nitnu. So you're not getting hanah. Huktel mitzvah means you're not allowed to get hanah. But since you're using the esrog for the purpose of the mitzvah, so that's not considered getting hanah. So he also knew that you're not getting hanah. But he felt that to be mevatel mitzvah, to take it down, that it should no longer serve as part of the schach, as part of the noyim mitzvah, that's also a violation of huktzah mitzvah. Just to be mevatlet mitzvasai is a violation of huktzah mitzvasai.
If you are mevatlet mitzvah, assuming that you're allowed to take them, so you're allowed to.
If you took it down already, so what's the shot? If someone took down the sukkah, is it still going to be hooked to the mitzvah? So that what? Not to get anoa? Yeah, it'd still be also about anoa. That's beferish. Even the noy sukkah, the fruits. In the days of the Tanan, used to hang up fruits, bottles of oil, bottles of wine. So it says even if it fell down by itself in the middle of chalamoid, you're allowed to handle it on chalamoid. There's no isa tiltal muktzah. But it's still hooked in the mitzvah, so you're not allowed to eat it.
Yeah. Even if you hold that you're allowed to be mitzvah in mitzvah, and you are mitzvah in mitzvah, meaning you do it on purpose?
Some hold you're allowed to be mitzvah in mitzvah, but you're still not allowed to eat it. Hooked in the mitzvah, and not to eat it. That for sure. Yeah. The Gemara has a klal that if it's raining on Sukkot, and if it would be raining in your own dining room, you wouldn't eat. Let's say sometimes it's leaking in the dining room. Imagine. There's a leak in the dining room, or it's freezing in the dining room. There's no steam. There's freezing in the dining room. In the bedroom, there is steam. So which Meshuggah wants to eat meals in the bedroom? But if it's freezing in one room, or there's only the air conditioning is on in the bedroom, the dining room is no air conditioning, and you're ready to faint. It's impossible to live there. So if the conditions are so uncomfortable, so once in a while you'll eat in the dining room, or you'll eat in the bedroom. So the sukkah is considered the bedroom, the dining room, in the living room. The sukkah is considered everything. So you're supposed to do everything in the sukkah. You're supposed to eat in the sukkah, sleep in the sukkah, and learn in the sukkah, everything in the sukkah, unless the conditions are so uncomfortable that if it would have been in your home, you wouldn't have eaten in the dining room, you would have eaten in the bedroom. So then you're allowed to eat in the house. So the Taisus has a machlekes, two opinions in Taisus. What if it's pouring on the first night of Sukkot? Hametzdair is potem in Sukkot because of Teshuv Kein Taduru. So that din of Teshuv Kein Taduru, maybe that's only for the whole duration of the 7 days of Sukkot. There are two mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah, Sukkot Teshuv Shivas Yomim. Then there's Gzereshav HaMishosah HaMishosah, learned that from Pesach. Just like on Pesach, there's an Issa Chometz, all of Pesach, and a Mitzvah Matzah the first night. So Laila Rishon of Sukkot, there's a Choyva to eat in Sukkot, even though the guy would really like to go take a stroll. He's not hungry at all. He ate so much on Erev Sukkos, he shouldn't have. He ate so much, he's not hungry, he wants to skip supper. So if it would have been a normal night, he would have skipped supper. He wouldn't eat, and he'd take a stroll. He's not interested in sitting at all. But the Laila Arishon of Sukkos, whether you like it or not, you have to eat the Kazayis Dogon in the Sukkot. That's what the Yerushalmi says, Kazayis Dogon. Some Rishonim says you have to eat Yosem Mikibetza, because if you eat kibetza or less of bread, so that's called Achilus Aroi. So the Mishnah says you're permitted to eat Achilus Aroi Chutz L'Sukkot. So some Rishonim say, if you want to say the bracha leishem basukah, you only say if you eat yosem mikibetza, all of sukkahs. If you eat less than a kibetza, you don't say leishem basukah. So some Rishonim say the same. The Ritva quotes. Some Rishonim say the same. Laila Rishon. Only if you eat yosem mikibetza, then it's called achilas keva. We don't pask like that. We pask like the Rishalmi with this gzeres shavah. The Bavli also has the gzeres shavah at the end of the second perek. Chamishosa from Chag HaMatzos that laila harishon chayva mekan v'yelech hashus. So the same is regarding Sukkot. Laila Rishon Chayva, even if he's not interested in eating at all, and since Laila Rishon of Pesach, all you have to eat is a Kazayis, so Laila Rishon of Sukkot, all you have to eat is a Kazayis. In the Mate Ephraim, he quotes the Chumrah that one should be Choshish for the other opinion, that Laila Rishon, you should try to eat Yosem Mikibetz. Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote that opinion, but since there was such an opinion, so he recommends one should be Choshish for that opinion. The Prima Godim has a very original chiddush that the first night, just like on Pesach night, you can't have matzah shira, you can't have egg matzahs, because matzah shira, so too, the first two nights of Sukkot, if you have egg challah, you're not yotzi, you have to have dafke water challah. Lechem shal ashira is not acceptable. Yes, yeah, so that's why he doesn't go. Yeah. So what's the difference? The Pashtus, we usually assume the matzah shira is a prat within matzah. Lechemoni is a definition of matzah. And the first night of Sukkot, you don't have to eat matzah. So what kind of a chumra is it? But some of the people from the neighborhood are all excited about this. Prima Godim, it's gevaldik, that you see, you have to eat dafka, the water challah. He says, you're not yetzer with the egg challah the first night. The egg is like to have water challah as opposed to egg challah all year long. So the first night of Sukkot is avada azay. Yeah, what if it's raining the rest of Sukkot? What if it's raining and the guy wants to sit in Sukkot anyway? So you cannot say a bracha. That's what Tosfos and all the Rishonim say. They quote the Rishonim, "Hapotam adaba ve'asei or nikra hedyot." That if you're potter from the mitzvah and you volunteer to do the mitzvah while it's raining, there's no kima mitzvah. The Rishonim ask Akasha, "How can you say hapotam adaba ve'asei nikra hedyot?" Gemara says there's a concept of ena mitzvah ve'yosa. A woman shakes a lulav and she says a bracha. Most of the women have the practice when they sit in sukkah. They also say a bracha. The Ksav Sofer writes, he's not sure whether his sisters used to say a bracha. When the father was alive and the sisters sat in the sukkah, he thinks that maybe they didn't say a bracha. So he wants to, Rabbi Yosef Engler has a whole arichas on this, that maybe sitting in sukkah, the first night of sukkahs is a mitzvah. Maybe the rest of sukkahs, there is no mitzvah at all. It's just that there's an iser to eat chutz l'sukkah, but there's no mitzvah to eat in the sukkahs. How do you say a bracha? Shekadishonu b'mitzvosu v'tzivonu leisha basukkah. It's really a bracha that you're not violating the iser of eating chutz l'sukkah. So very shver, very shver. You never say a bracha. When a person shaves with an electric shaver, he says a bracha. Shekadishonu b'tzivonu shalom l'galech b'tar. When a person goes to a kosher restaurant, the Rosh says like that. In the beginning of Ksuba, the person goes to eat kosher food. There's never a bracha on avoiding violation of another. You only say a bracha when you perform a mitzvah. So how can you say leisha basukah every day of sukkahs over the not violating of the yisr? Very shver avoid. So by Rabbi Yosef Engel and Ksav Sofer, they have such a suggestion. Maybe women shouldn't say a bracha the rest of sukkahs because the bracha is only that you're not violating the yisr. But there really isn't any mitzvah. The mitzvah is only the first night. So shver avot. The Pashtus says there's a mitzvah all of sukkahs to eat in the sukkah. Anyway, but there is a concept of ena mitzvah v'yosa. So that's what the Rishonim raised this issue. In Bava Kamma, around Daf Peches or so, where the Gemara quotes the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Yehuda, there are three versions of Rabbi Yehuda. So one version of Rabbi Yehuda is that Asumas Pata Mikola mitzvahs. Asumas not mechuyev to observe any mitzvahs. The Mishnah says there, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a summa is potami boishas. If the summa is choyvel b'chavera, he doesn't have to pay boishas. Then the three versions of what Rabbi Yehuda said, how far did he go with this? The third version is Rabbi Yehuda holds that a summa is potami kol ha-mitzvah. He doesn't have to keep any mitzvahs. So the Gemara says there, but if the Silma volunteers to do the mitzvah, so the Rishonim say he says a bracha. So that's where all the Rishonim there, the Meiri quotes a lot, the Rishonim discuss it there in Bava Kama Daf Peches. Why don't you say apotam an adaba v'yasein nikra hedyot? So all the Rishonim say, no, nikra hedyot means when there's no kiyum mitzvah, but when there is a kiyum mitzvah, then you're not nikra hedyot. That's exactly the question. So when is there a kiyum mitzvah? When not? When it's raining in the sukkah, there's no kiyum mitzvah at all. Rabbi Kadega points out on the Or Chaim, on the bottom of the page in Or Chaim, that there are two kinds of mitzvah, potam and asukkah. Let's say the lights went out in my sukkah, the wind blew out the candles, or the lights went out, whatever, and the closest sukkah is an hour and a half away. So I'll have to walk an hour and a half. So that's taka mitzvah, potam and asukkah. I'm not mechuyev to walk an hour and a half in order to eat in someone else's sukkah. But if I did walk the hour and a half, and then I am sitting in the other guy's sukkah, and it's beautiful, and it's comfortable, and pleasant, of course I say, bracha, I wasn't mechuyev to walk for an hour and a half. But if you sit in the sukkah while it's pouring, you're mitztayer at the time you're sitting in the sukkah. So that's mitztayer potam in a sukkah, there's no kiyum. So Rabbi Kevega says, there you're not allowed to say a bracha. So that's a shot of the first night of sukkahs. So mistama, that kind of mitztayer, let's say, in my sukkah the lights went out. And the closest sukkah is an hour and a half away. So mistama that, everybody, all the Rishonim will agree, you're mechuyev to walk an hour and a half in order to sit in your friend's sukkah. No one would say that mitztayer is potam in a sukkah on the first night. But if it's raining in the sukkah, that's what Taisus has the 2 days. That's the machloikas. And some Rishonim say, even if it's raining the first night, you're mechuyev to eat in the sukkah. And others disagree. What? There's mamish. There's no, it's not called a sukkah.
Why do we make kiddush in that case?
So the minig is, in Shulchan Aruch it says that you even say a bracha leishe basukah in the pouring rain. And we don't pass them like that. You don't say a bracha, because bottom line, it is a machlokes in Rishonim, whether you mechuyev the first night of sukkahs when it's raining. So the minig is that you say kiddush in the sukkah and you eat your kazayas without leishe basukah, and then you go into the house and you eat the rest of the meal there. And then if it stops raining at some later on, and people are still awake, then they should go into the sukkah and eat another kazayis and really say leisha basukkah if the raining stops later on. The Ramah writes, a chumra, that the first, even though people have a practice to be mekabel Shabbos early, before the sun sets, and the Gemara says, "Asofik in brachas daf chav zayin." If you mekabel Shabbos early, can you say kiddush or not? The Gemara says, comes to the conclusion, yes, you may say you can dav ma'ariv early, and you can say kiddush. And if you can say kiddush, you can begin the meal. You have to have kiddush ma'akum suda, so you can begin the meal. So the Gemara says you can say kiddush during this man of Tosefta. The Gemara just has Tosus in the first daf, and Arvei Psochim has two opinions. When you begin the meal on erev Shabbos, when you mekabel Shabbos early, can you bench also before the sun sets and you yotze the suda Shabbos during the Zman of Tosefes? Or do you have to make sure that you ate some significant amount of bread balailo, that the beginning of the meal is okay in connection with the Kiddush? But you can't be yotze the suda Shabbos during the Zman of Tosefes. So you have to either eat a kazayis or a kibetza, or yotze the kibetza, however, the different opinions, balailo after tzeis ha-kochavim. So that's a machleika. So the Ramah has a chumra that even though it's okay to say Kiddush early on any given Friday afternoon, but on Leil Sukkos, you shouldn't say Kiddush till it's Vaday Laila, because you got to say Leisha Basukah. So in the Sefer Divrei Yecheskel, Divrei Yecheskel is mainly on Noshim and Ezekin by one of the Rosh Yeshiva, Slabotka Yeshiva from Europe, from Slabotka. I think Slabotka is on the outskirts of Vilna. It's like Borough Park. Like Borough Park is to Manhattan. So one of the Rashi Yeshiva there quotes Rab Chaim in his Sefer Divrei Yecheskel. Rab Chaim asked, he doesn't understand. All of Sukkos, you say Leisha Basukah, not just the first night of Sukkah. You always say Leisha Basukah when you eat in the Sukkah. I can understand Chamishasa, the Gezer Shava from Chagamatzos, that Tosis has the Chiddush on the opening Mishnah in Arvei Psochim, and you can't be Yotze the Mitzvah Matzah during this Man of Tosefes, because you have to eat Erev Tochel Matzahs. The Matzah has to be eaten Leil Tezvav. And if you're Moise Mechol Al HaKodesh, fine, it's Pesach, it has Kedushas Pesach, but it's not Leil Tezvav. the Zman before Laila, an Erev Pesach, the Zman of Tosef is not better than tomorrow morning. The first day Pesach in the morning is Tezvav. It's Pesach, has Kedusha Yom HaPesach, but it's not Leil Tezvav. So if you're Moshe Mechoel Ala Kodesh, it's fine, it's Pesach, but it's not Leil Tezvav. So that's what Tosef says. You can't be Yotze the Mitzvah of Matzah during the Zman of Tosefes. But over here, you can't be Yotze the Mitzvah of Chamishasa from Chagam. I can't be Yotze the Mitzvah, special Mitzvah of Leil Tezvav to eat in Sukkah during the Zman of Tosefes. But the regular Mitzvah of eating in Sukkah, all Sukkahs, if you're Moshe Mechoel Ala Kodesh, so it's Sukkah, so you can say Leisha Basukkah. Just make sure that you eat a kezayis balayla after tzeisa kachavim. What's wrong with saying leisha basuka? That's what the Dibri Cheska quotes the kasha from Rab Chaim. So the Rosh Hashiva from Slabodka, Rab Cheska Burstein, his name was, he wants to answer the kasha, he wants to explain the Ramo. So he says the Ramo is probably based on the Tosis and Ksubis, on Memvov, Memzayin. There's a Tosis where they say that during this Zman HaTosefes there is no mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. So Tosfos seems to hold that during the Zman of Tosefes you only have an Issa Melocha and Kiddush, that's all. Kiddush is connected with Issa Melocha, but you can't fulfill any of the other mitzvahs. So perhaps Tosfos would say that the mitzvah that applies throughout the 7 days of Sukkot, the mitzvah, the general mitzvah in Sukkot and Sukkot, wouldn't apply either during the Zman of Tosefes. Only Issa Melocha and the ability to recite Kiddush. So that's the practice. The Ramo has that chumra that you don't recite Kiddush the first night, the first 2 nights of Sukkot, until it's Vaday Lailo, because of the Gzeir Shavah Hamishosa Hamishosa. Just like by Matzah, you have to eat Davka Balayla. Yeah. When exactly do you say the Brocha Leisha Basukah? So, strictly speaking, whenever you have to be in, so let's say a person wants to go to sleep in the Sukkah, you should really say Leisha Basukah? Or he's going to he's going to spend a couple of hours in the sukkah. He's going to learn in the sukkah. He should say Leisha Basukah. So we have a minig from the Maharam Rutenberg that he only said Leisha Basukah when he ate the meal with bread. But he ate a meal with bread. If he wouldn't eat a meal with bread, let's say he go to his friend's home and visit and talk for a couple of hours and then leave, so the Maharam, sounds like the Maharam would not say the brach. That's the common practice. So the Chayei Odom claims that it's not so. The Chayyadim claims all the Maharam Rutenberg meant to say was, if I'm going to sit in Sukkah for the next 5 hours and then I'm going to eat dinner at the end of the 5 hours, I should say Leisha Basukah, save the Bracha Leisha Basukah till the end in connection with the meal. But if I'm going to visit by my friend for an hour, and I'm just going to have a drink of tea or a drink of soda and a piece of cake, and then I'm going to leave after an hour. It's not that there's going to be a meal with bread at the end of the hour. So what are you saving up the Brocha Leisha Basukah? May as well say Leisha Basukah in the beginning. He claims the Maharam Rutenberg never said otherwise. He claims that's all the Maharam said. So that the Litvakis follow the Chayyadim like the Bible. So that's what all the Litvakis do. If they go visit by someone else, they're going to stay for an hour. So they have a drink and a piece of cake and shmooze. So they'll say Leisha Basukah based on this Chayyod. He claims the Vilna Gaon didn't like the whole meaning of the Maharam Rutenberg. He said, Medina de Gemara, say Leisha Basukah whenever you're mechuyev to sit in Sukkah, whenever it's going to be a yeshiva skeva. Achila skeva, he needs a Sukkah. Shmini Atzeres is a big issue, whether you sit in Sukkah or not. The Hasidim don't sit in Sukkah, and the Misnagdim insist that you got to sit in Sukkah. And Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to let everybody observe their own minig, whatever the family minig is, except for this. He was Eish Lahava against this. He says there's no justification whatsoever. Everybody has to sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. About Feirish Gemara, the Gemara has three different opinions, whether you don't sit in Sukkah at all, or you sit in Sukkah and you say Leisha Basukah, two extremes, and we pask in the middle of the road, centrist orthodox. You sit in Sukkah, you don't say a bracha. The Gemara says, Meisav Yasvina Brucha Lo Mevarchina. That's what it says in the Gemara. So he said, how can they have a meaning against the Gemara? It's against the Gemara. In recent years, people published that it seems that many Rishonim didn't have that girsa in the Gemara. Seems that was added on from the Sefer Halachas Gedolos, V'Hilchasa. There were three opinions, and the Sefer Halachas Gedolos, Tosfos every so often says that this line was added into the Gemara from the Bahag. So that's what others claim, that this line was also added. Hilchasa, Mesav Yasvina, Beruchel Amar Barachinon, this was added in from the Bahag, and that's why Rashi and many Rishonim seem did not sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. So that's perhaps the real justification. They say they wrote in the biography of the Satmar Rebbe, Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, the one who passed away 35 years ago, that in Europe he never sat in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. That's the meaning by the Hasidim. And he knew that Rab Tzadok HaKohen was originally a misnagid, then he became a chassid. He converted, he became a chassid later in life. And he wrote many svarim on chassidus. And then he has one sefer that's pure halacha to justify the meaning of the chassidim not to sit in sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So that was out of print for many years. So the Satmar Rebbe, when he came to America, so he was visiting by the Boston Rebbe. That's probably the grandfather of the one of the people who are now called the Boston Rebbe. So he was, I remember him. So he visited by him, he visited by him in a sukkah. So he saw that he had that sefer Rav Tzadok HaKohen on the table, so he asked if he could borrow it. So he was afraid to lend it to him because it was a rare sefer and he was afraid he'll never get it back. He trusted the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe's home was open to the public. People walked off with his tables and with money and with furniture. People walked off with everything. So he's afraid someone's going to walk off with his sefer. So he said, read the sefer here in the sukkah. Stay as long as you want. Leave the sefer here. So he flipped through he skimmed through the whole sefer, and he was not satisfied with the official justification. That was the official justification why they don't sit in sukkah. So from that time on, he did sit in sukkah. That's what they write in his biography. In Europe, he never sat in sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. And in America, he did. He changed his meaning. And they don't explain why. So the Bostoner Einiklach say, because when he read the official explanation and he saw that it wasn't so gewaldic, so he felt that it wasn't right, and he started sitting in sukkah. But others have published now. They think, they quote that half of the Rishonim didn't sit in sukkah. Rashi and many of the Baalei Tos didn't sit in sukkah. And they say this was the girsa. This girsa was, this line, the Hilchasa, was carried over from the Halachas Gedolos. So maybe we shouldn't be so harsh on the Hasidim over the fact that they don't sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. Yeah.
If you're saying somewhere that people don't sit in Sukkah
and
Shmini Atzeres, should
you say something? Rav Soloveitchik always used to tell them in no uncertain terms that they have to sit in Sukkah. I remember I was staying once Shmini Atzeres by my Charusa in Boston, and his father wouldn't drink a cup of water. He wouldn't drink a sip of water out of the sukkah for the 7 days of sukkah. Shmini Atzeres, he didn't eat in the sukkah. So Rav Soloveitchik, he used to daven half the time by the Boston Rebbe and half the time in Maimonides. Rav Soloveitchik said, you shouldn't do that. You're not allowed to eat chutz l'sukkah. He says, other menhagim, you should follow whatever you want. But this you're not allowed to follow. This is keneged adin. Yeah.
Even though some of the Rishonim not in Sukkah Shmini Atzeres, the Chassid Shmini doesn't come from the Rishonim.
I don't know. Apparently there was such a tradition going all the way down. I don't know.
It sort of applied everything to Shina and everything along from the
Yeah, everything, yeah. Some Rishonim say you have to sit in the sukkah and not say a bracha. That's as far as eating is concerned, because you don't want to violate Baal Tosef. The Gemara says there's an issue of Baal Tosef. So the Gemara says in another place, if you do it misafik, then there's no violation of Baal Tosef. See, when it comes to eating, you sit in the sukkah, you don't say a bracha, so you demonstrate that you're not doing it b'toras vadi, doing b'toras safik by not saying a bracha. So that's why there's no Baal Tosef. But as far as sleeping is concerned, that we never say a bracha when we sleep in the sukkah, so then you're not allowed to sleep in the sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. The Mordechai quotes such a practice of many of the Baalei Tosef. They would eat in the sukkah, but they wouldn't sleep in the sukkah. And the Vilna Gaon didn't like that, because he used to say a bracha on everything. He didn't hold from that meaning of the Maharan Rutenberg. So he slept in the sukkah also. And then they say on one occasion it was very cold. It was freezing on Leil Shmini Atzeres. And the Vilna Gaon said he has to sleep in the sukkah with a fur coat. If he's going to sleep chutz l'sukkah, they're going to say that he's following the Hasidim, and that was apikursus. He may not allow anyone to say that he's following the Hasidim. So he slept in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. If it would have been any other day of sukkahs, he would have slept in the house. But because of Shmini Atzeres, that's why he couldn't. Like they said, there was once a bris on Yom HaAtzma'ut, and when you have a bris, you don't say tachnon. So the Chazon Ish said they have to say Tachanun. They shouldn't think that he's celebrating Yom HaAtzmaut. Okay. So they once had a bris here in Muncie on Yom Ha'atzmaut. So the father of the baby said, "We got to say Tachnun because the Chazon Ish said." So Rabbi Yankee Kamenetsky looked at him like a Meshuggah. "You're not the Chazon Ish." So they're going to say that you didn't say Tachnun. So what? The Chazon Ish had to take a stand. You don't have to take a stand. You live in America. Yeah. Everybody thinks that they have to take a stand on everything. Yeah. The Mishnah says, yeah.
What's the Svara of the Maharam to only make the only
He need a ma'isa mesuyim of yeshiva besuka. A ma'isa mesuyim. Sleeping, sometimes you don't fall asleep. But Tyson says like that. Sometimes you don't fall asleep right away. Right, but you're going to still be laying in bed, tossing and turning for a couple of hours. So that's also the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. So that's not a ma'isa mesuyim. Eating in the sukkah, that's a ma'isa mesuyim. It's a shveris one. That's the minig is that people only say Leisha Basuk when they eat bread. When they sleep in the sukkah, they don't say a bracha.
Could the Chayyadim also on Shmini Tzeres sleep in the sukkah and
the Chayyadim was a mechutna of the Vilna Gaon. I'm sure he did everything the Vilna Gaon did. I'm sure he would sleep in the sukkah. Yeah. The mitzvah of Dalad Minim, in our Torah it says, Lulav Nitol. Bamigdush kol shiva b'medina yamechad. Outside of the base hamigdush, you only shake a lulav on the first day. Lekachtam lechem b'yamrishim, the first day of Sukkot. And outside of the base hamigdush, that's called b'medina only the first day. And in the base hamigdush, it's called shiva because the pasuk concludes v'smachtam lefnei Hashem alakechem shivas yamim. How do you fulfill v'smachtam lefnei Hashem alakechem in the base hamigdush shivas yamim? B'meh, by shaking dalad min. Yeah. So that's a question, what's the definition of Migdosh? Migdosh. So the Migdosh means inside the Beis HaMigdosh, inside the Azor is Beis HaMigdosh. The Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah is, quotes an opinion from Yerushalmi, in the Mishnah Torah he doesn't quote it. Pirush HaMishnah is, he quotes an opinion from Yerushalmi that Lulav Nitol B'Migdosh Kol Shiva is in the whole Ir Atika. That the whole Lefnei Hashem, Smachtam Lefnei Hashem Elkechem, Lefnei Hashem, says, the we mentioned already, the word Lefnei Hashem, sometimes he refers to Yerushalayim. V'chalto sham lefnei Hashem alakecha ma'isa digon chabisirosh chavitzerach. He eat ma'isa sheni in Yerushalayim, in the whole Ir Atika. And sometimes lefnei Hashem b'shochad is ben abaka lefnei Hashem. It means azara. You have to shech korbanos in the azara. And sometimes lefnei Hashem means in the harabis. V'chatzoitzus u'kol shofa hari lefnei melech Hashem. The different madregas of Kedushas Beis HaMikdosh. The azara has a higher level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. Harbais has a slightly lower level, and the Ir Atika has even a lower level. So all three are sometimes referred to as Lefnei Hashem. So the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah quotes this opinion from Yerushalmi, that Lulav Nitol B'Migdash Kol Shiva includes the whole Ir Atika. Then there's a Sefer Bikuri Yankif. He mentioned it the other day, but Rabbi Yankif Ettlinger, that's the first Sefer that he wrote, that was his Reishis Bikurim, and it's a very good Sefer. It's on Hilchas Sukkah and Hilchas Dalad Minim. So he writes a chiddush that if you put together the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, which the Rambam in Mishnah Torah doesn't paskan like it doesn't quote, but in the Pirush HaMishnayos quotes that opinion from Yerushalmi, the Lulav Nitol B'Migdosh Kol Shiva is a din derais in the Holy Ratika, and then the Rambam paskins that Kitchalos Ilovai, the Kedushas Beis HaMigdosh and Kedushas Iratika, retains the Kedusha even after Churban Habay. So if you put the two together, so there should be a mitzvah b'zman hazeh to shake lulav min ha-Torah in the old city called Shiva. So let's say a person already shook lulav in the morning on Chol HaMoed, on the morning, first day Yontif, second day, whatever, Yontif, and then he walks to the Ir Atika. So in the morning he was only yotze lulav derabbanon on Chol HaMoed. That's a takanas habyecha mezak after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yechem Azaka was the chief rabbi for 40 years, the Gemara says. He died at the age of 120. And the first 40 years of his life, the Gemara says, he was in business, and then he retired at the age of 40. And then he learned for 40 years, not to be recommended, to start learning at 40 to learn till 80. And then at the age of 80, like Rav Shach, he was appointed chief rabbi of the world. He was appointed Rosh HaSanhedrin, and he went strong for 40 years, till the age of 120, the Gemara says. So he was chief rabbi for 40 years, and under his presidency, the Bez made 9 takonis. So the Gemara says several of them had to do with the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was chorib during his lifetime. So this was one of them, that after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, He was afraid this whole inyan of lulav nital b'amigdash kol shiva will be forgotten. So he made a zechel amigdash. We should all bench esrig all 7 days of Sukkot. So that's only the rabban. That's only the rabban. So let's say somebody davened in Tel Aviv, or someone davened in Meir Shorim in the morning of Chol HaMoed. Then he goes to the Eir Atika and he shook a lulav where he was. Now he's going to go to the Eir Atika. So according to the Bikur Yankif, if you put together the two Rambams, the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah, is that the Oli Ratika is Migdosh, and the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, the Kid Shel Asi Lavai, so he has a mitzvah in HaTorah to shake the lulav in the Ratika. He wasn't Yotze with what he shook in the morning. He wasn't Mechuyiv in HaTorah. Now that he comes to the Ratika, he's Mechuyiv in HaTorah. But because there were those who don't, the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam on Kid Shel Asi Lavai, and the Rambam himself doesn't accept what he wrote in the Pirush HaMishnah, is that the Oli Ratika is considered the Migdosh, or the Bikur Yankov said, you shouldn't say a bracha. But if a person went to the Yer Atika, he should shake lulav again. So I remember Rabbi Gerelich told us when he was learning by Rav Elbala Soloveitchik in Brisk. So one of the Talmidim asked Rav Elbala said this over from the Bikur Yankov. So one of the Talmidim asked them, what about on the first day of Yontas? First day of Yontas, Yer Mechuyiv Min HaTorah to shake a lulav all over. So let's say the guy shook a lulav min HaTorah on the first day Yontif in Meir Shorim. It's chutz, it's not the Yer Atika. Chutz li Yer Atika. But he was yotze this chiv derai. So then he goes to the old city. Is he mechuyiv now min HaTorah to shake a lulav again? Or do you say, no, he was yotze with what he shook in the morning. But what he shook in the morning wasn't lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem means in the old city. So one of the Talmidim asked this to Rav Elbala. This was before Hakamas HaMedina, before everything. They didn't have, the whole thing was just chalomis. The whole thing was just fantasy that we're asking. Now it's halacha l'maaseh, maaseh b'chol yom. People daven in the morning, then they walk or they travel to the Yer Atika, and they daven by the Kosel Maariv. They do it all the time now. And then there was Hilchos HaMashiach. They thought they'll never live so long to see the day that this shaila will come up. So he said, Rav Elbala was thinking and thinking. He said, it's a good shaila he doesn't know. What's on the first day? If you shook the lulav on the first day, chutz li'ir atika, then you come to the Yer Atika, would the Rambam hold that you mechuyev to shake again? So it's interesting, where Rav Elbala said he doesn't know, so there was a businessman, Rabbi Yeruchim Perla, who wrote this three fat volumes, the size of three Baba Basras, on the Sefer HaMitzvahs for Avsad Yigon. Avsad Yigon wrote this poem, a couple of pages long, where he has all the Taryag Mitzvahs, and it's a balabas. This very learned Balabas cracked the secret, he cracked the code, and he figured out what are the guidelines of Rav Sadi Gaon to determine which mitzvahs belong in Minyan HaMitzvahs and which not. So he has a whole essay about this also. He thinks that it's a machlekes HaRishayim on the first day. The Meforshim on Chumash, the Parshani HaMikra, when it says, L'kach Melchem Bayom Rishon, L'smacht Melefnei Hashem Alekech Meshiv HaSyamim. So some Rishayim say, the remaining 6 days of the Shivas Yamim, the first day, everybody shook a lulav all over the world. So the Smacht Malfnei Hashem Alekechem is only the remaining 6 days. Oh, no. The first day also, there's a separate Kiyum in Migdosh, and over and above the Kiyum, Bigvulin. Lokach Malchem Yamarishin. On this din of lulav kol shiva and Migdosh, there's a Machlekes Tosfos and the Ramban, on the first half of lulav Agolz, whether you need Shalachem. So the Tosfos says, whenever lulav is there, I say, in each alachem. And by us, lulav kol shiva is only with the Rabban and Zechel and Migdash, Takanos HaBechem and Zakai, that Zechel and Migdash shouldn't forget that there was such a mitzvah. So by us, it's only the Rabban and say, you don't need shalachem. But if you go to the Yer Atika, and you think that maybe there's a possibility to fulfill a mitzvah there, I say, then you have to have shalachem. That's what Tosfos holds. So when you go to the Yer Atika, there'll always be a good Samaritan who'll give you a matana maras lahachzer. He'll give you the dalmini. You think, what is he, nuts? He doesn't know you don't need shalachem. The other days of Sukkot, the answer is he knows that you don't need shalachem. But for lulav nital b'amigdosh, according to Tosfos, you do need shalachem. The Ramban there disagrees with that Tosfos. The Ramban thinks that these are two different mitzvahs. Ulakachtam asmachtam atu mitzvahs. Ulakachtam lachem ishalachem. On the first day, Yontav, you need shalachem. That's the mitzvah, lekachtam lachem. But the remaining days, the other days in Migdosh, smachtem. It's not that the pasuk smachtem is megala, that a lekachtam applies in the Migdosh all 7 days. No, it's a different mitzvah. That mitzvah, the mitzvah of smachtem, shivasem, doesn't need shalachem.
Would there have been a need for Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai to make a Dekanazich Lamikdash to apply the entire Yerushalayim?
I mean, a taina against this Rambam. How can you say, what do you need is Zechal HaMikdash if they're still shaking the lulav there now? Okay, so good to taina. I don't know.
Is today's old city the old city that the Rambam was pregnant?
I think so. I think it's the same old city. I don't know. Ir David was the original old city, but then they expanded it. They were Moisif Al-Hu'ir.
Parts of it were expanded by the Armenian.
So that was whenever in Scottish. Okay, whatever was in Scottish originally. Okay, whatever was in Scottish. I think it's more than it, David. On the second day of Sukkot, there is a... We hold you don't need Shalachem on Chol HaMoed. The 5 days of Chol HaMoed. But on the first day you need Shalachem. Lekachtam lachem shalachem. What about the second day? So the second day is a Sveka D'Yoyma. So whatever applies the first day applies the second day. That's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. On the second day you need Shalachem, and I'm called Psulei Rishon, Psulim on the second day. So the Mishnah Berurah points out that the Olam makes a mistake. He quotes the Bikur Yankov, that people make a mistake. They think that Sveka D'Yoyma doesn't only applies to Kiddush, only applies to Melocha, and to the Kriyas HaTorah, and to the Davening. They think it doesn't apply to Lulav, and there is such an opinion in the Ritva. Why? Because Yontav Sheni Shal Golias was introduced in it, that we observed, Bisman Hazeh was introduced during the lifetime of Abai Verova. It used to be Mikadosh Al Pi Hariyah. So they observed one version of Yontav Sheni Shel Golias, a Sveka D'Yoyma, some kind of Sveka D'Yoyma. But then they instituted the Luach Kavua. So once they instituted the fixed calendar, so there's no more Sveka D'Yoyma. We know centuries in advance when Yontav is going to be, any given year. So why do we still observe Yontav Sheni Shel Golias? So that was the question that they sent from Bovil territory, so should we still continue to observe Yantav Sheni? So the Gemara quotes in the beginning of Beitz and Sholchom Mitam, they sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael, Yizor b'minig avasech midech, you should still continue to observe Yantav Sheni. So the Ritva says, but after the destruction of the second base HaMikdash, Avdechem and Zakkai already introduced, you have to shake a lulav all 7 days. So a Ben Kovako was shaking a lulav. So does it make sense that when in the day during the several centuries later, Beis Hamikdash was destroyed around the year 70? So soon after year 71, 72, whatever, Rabbi Yechem Mazak made a takana lulav nito kol shiva. Then a few centuries later, during the lifetime of Abai Verov, they introduced the Yontav Sheni Shel Golias, Zorah B'Mingar Avsech Medechem, that we observe today. So does it make sense that they introduced that you have to? You're shaking a lulav anyway all 7 days because of Takanos Abdechem and Zakkai. So does it make sense you should have to shake a lulav on the second day, the Torah Sveka D'Yoyma, the first day? You're going to shake a lulav anyway because all 7 days you're going to shake a lulav. Even a Chol HaMoed you're going to shake. So that's what the Ritva has, two opinions. And he has a significant opinion that he never made Yontav Sheni, he never introduced Yontav Sheni vis-a-vis lulav. You need Yontav Sheni to say Kiddush, Yontav Sheni to Issa Malacha, for Kriyas HaTorah, Haftorah, you know, that it should be like Yontav. But you don't need to make a Yontav Sheni vis-a-vis Netilas Ben Kavakar, you're going to shake a lulav all 7 days. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's a nice Svara, but the Mechaber doesn't pass on like that. He quotes the Bikur Yankov, that the Balabata make a mistake. They think the second day Yontav, there's no Sveka D'Yoyma on Dalad Minim. And it's not true. The accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that you do have to observe Sveka D'Yoyma, even regarding lulav. The Gemara says he's supposed to hold the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand. Why is that? Because the lulav has 3/4 of the mitzvah. The lulav has the adasim and the arav, and the esrog is only one. Yeah. What if you want to hold both in the same hand? So the Magen Aharon quotes from the Beis Yosef that there are some Rishonim who say that you're not yotze even b'dievad. You have to dafka hold the lulav and the esrog in two different hands. This usually raises a problem when you go hoishinus. You only have two hands. So you have to have the lulav in one hand, the esrog in the other hand, and then you have to where you hold the siddur. So I remember Rabbi Gerelich told us, he remembered that when he learned in Brisk, there was only one lulav and esrog for the whole city. Everybody said the bracha on the same lulav and esrog. So when the Chazan went around saying hoishinus, he was the only one who had a lulav and an esrog. So Rav Elbel Soloveitchik had someone walk in front of the Chazan backwards holding the siddur. So the Chazan didn't have to hold the machzor. So he held the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand, and someone else held the siddur for him. That's why now they make little cards, tiny little things, to make it possible to hold the lulav and the esrog in the two different hands when you go with hoishinus, to satisfy that opinion that the Magen Avraham recommends you should follow. What if a person is a lefty? So there's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. Should he hold the lulav in the left hand? Because to him, that's how he holds the Kiddush cup, he holds in his left hand. He should hold the lulav in the esrog in the left. Hold the lulav in the left hand, the esrog in the right hand, and say no. The Gemara said you got to hold the lulav in the right hand. So even if you're a lefty, you hold it in the right hand. So it's a machlokes. So the Magen Avraham again quotes Rabbeinu Hananel. I don't know how he had Rabbeinu Hananel. We have it in the Vilna Shas. They printed it on the side of the Gemara. How did he have access? I have no idea. But he quotes Rabbeinu Hananel says if you switch hands, you're not yotzei b'di'evet. It's makah b'di'evet. The Gemara says in Sochem and Dav Zayin that kol mitzvus kulam mevarach aleim oivel asiyasa. I was supposed to say the bracha immediately before you perform the mitzvah, except for lulav and esrog. The Gemara said you can't say the bracha before you pick it up. Once you pick it up, you're yotzei already. So you always say the bracha on lulav and esrog lachar asiyasa. That's how it says in the Gemara. So the Balei HaTos has outsmarted the Gemara. The Balei HaTos came up with an einfall. Hold the lulav, hold the esrog upside down. So you'll be holding it. It won't be over the over. If you say the bracha before you pick it up, so that's what Tosha said, that's over the over. So Tosha says, no. Say the bracha when you're holding the lulav and the esrog. Hold the esrog upside down. Hafochai. Gemara says, if hafochai, if you hold it upside down, it's not gederach dilosam. So then you're not yotze. So then after you say the bracha, then you turn it with the pitam up. So the Rabbeinu Hananel says on the Gemara, hafochai, if you hold the esrog in the right hand, the lulav in the left hand, you're not yotze. That's hafochai, you're not yotze. So there are kihilas by Sfardim where that's their practice. They'll hold the esrog in the right hand, lulav in the left hand, say the bracha, then they'll switch hands. We don't switch hands. We switch to pit them up instead of having to pit them down. And they'll switch hands based on this Rabbeinu Hananel. So because the Rabbeinu Hananel holds that the right hand, left hand is makah b'di'evet, so this shiloh with the lefty becomes a more serious shiloh. So that's why the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the earlier, from the Magen Avraham, I think, that a person is a lefty, you should really say the bracha holding the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand, but then after he finishes doing all the nanuim, he should shake again, doing the reverse, holding the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand, because of the minority opinion that even a lefty should hold the lulav in the right hand, and holding in the correct hand is li'kuvim, because Rabbeinu Hananel says it's ma'akeh b'di'evet. Yeah, the Hasidim, many Hasidim have a practice, they mark bedavke to have a green esrog, a very green esrog, because that's what it says in the Zohar. You have to have an esrog hayorok, a green esrog, a pikabola. So the Mishkan Es Yankif lived in Karlin. He was the rabbi in Karlin. So he had a lot of fights with the Hasidim there, because he learned the Maloj in the yeshiva. So he didn't hold from the Hasidim. So he has a whole tshuva that the Hasidim are wrong, that's not what it says in the Zohar. Yorik kekarsi means green. Yorik means brown. Yorik means brown or yellow. The Zohar said the same as the Gemara. The Gemara said beferish that an esrog that's green is pasul. Mamish not yet in the midst. So this famous tshuva, after Abchaim Volozhin passed away, they collected all of the tshuvas that he had around the house and they put them out in a sefer. Years later, it's called Chutam Shulosh. Shalosh Shuvas Chutam Shulosh has a collection of tshuvas by the three Rashi Yeshiva in Volozhin. First is Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and then by his two sons-in-law. One is Rav Lezer Ritcher, Rav Lezer Yitzchok, Fried, I think his name, and the other one was Rav Hillel. I forgot his family name. So they have, that's called Chutam Shulosh. So by mistake, they included this tshuva, which was printed by the Mishkan Es Yankim in his sefer. It's clearly written by the Mishkan Es Yankim. It wasn't written by Rav Chaim Volozhiner. You can tell the style is so different. It's clearly the style of the Mishkan Es Yankim. So by mistake, this is printed in the Chutam Shulosh as a tshuva Rav Chaim Volozhiner. But he's really right. It's a beferish gemara that a green esrog is not good. Hadassim have to be mshuloshim. You have to have the three or more leaves coming out at the same level. If you have two and one, so the Pashto says that's a hodos shaita. What kind of an expression, hodos shaita, stupid hodos? What kind of expression, hodos shaita? So a lot of the Mefarshim say, no, Obi Yisir Eschem Bashotim. Shotim means a twig. Hodos shaita means this hodos is a twig. It's not a kosher hodos. It's a twig. The problem is, that's the Pashim Shah. The problem is the Gemara has an expression, b'chor shaita. And Yesh Nechlin, it says that a b'chor gets pishnayim, but if he's a b'chor for his mother, not for his father, let's say it's the woman's first child, but she married a man and he had children previously. So he's the child, the firstborn to the mother, needs pinyan aben. Even though it's not the firstborn to the father, but the firstborn to the mother doesn't get pishnaim, not from the mother, not from the father. Only the firstborn to the father gets pishnaim. So one is a pchor to his mother, not to his father. The Gemara calls him a pchor shaita. So what does the word twig apply over there? So the Rashbam says, just like he say hodah shaita, he say pchor shaita. It means it's a stupid hodah and a stupid pchor. It's an imitation. Imitation hodahs. So you have to have the hadasim and aravos have to be a minimum of 3 tfachim tall, different opinions, that's how we machmel l'chatchil, 3 tfachim tall, and at least roiv of the 3 tfachim has to be mishuloshim. As long as roiv is mishulosh. Nah, they sell you a kula mishulosh. Okay, it's a mahuder if it's kula mishulosh. But the mikra din, you just need that roiv should be mishulosh. Rashi in Pardes is quoted as saying when you have the hadas on one side, the aravos on the other side, the top of the hadasim has to be higher than the top of the aravos. Rashi is quoted as saying that you're not yotze even b'dieved if you have the aravos higher than the hadasim. That doesn't make any sense. How can it be that you're not yotze b'dieved? Because the aravos are higher. We don't understand why they break their heads to give explanation. Marsham has a suggestion, but he says it's very difficult. Why shouldn't it be yotze b'dieved? But l'chatchila you should be choshish for that. The way to remember is that the hadasim are the shape of the eye and the aravos are the shape of the lips, so the eyes are above the lips. So the hadasim have to be higher than the aravos, yeah.
Going back to the rule with the having the aravos, if someone has something that's longer, does that make the shear grow longer or shorter for
Rav Soloveitchik said lahokel on that. As long as you have a roiv of 3 tvachim, even though the thing is 5 tvachim long. But there's what the dingzach. He said lahokel, but there's what the dingzach. One can argue the point. So, lemaise bayas, usually the aravos are much longer than the hadasim. So you should snip off the aravos on the bottom. You should put them all. The lulavim are not so tall bayas. Years ago, when I was a little boy, the lulavim were taller. I don't know, they shrank. So you read this Adaris, this Katan Shiram, the Lulavim got shorter now. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Ran, you have to have the Shedra of the Lulav. Towards the top of the Lulav, the Shedra disappears. Shedra is the thick part, where you have all of the leaves are glued together, are growing together. So you have to have the Shedra of the Lulav should protrude a Tefach above the top of the Hadassim, which in turn should be above the top of the Aravos. So you got to have your Aravos and Hadassim all the way down, mamish on the bottom. You can't move them up 2 inches above the bottom of the lulav. The lulav won't be tall enough to have that. You want to have the shedra should protrude a tefach, full tefach above the tip of the hadasim. The hadasim have to be above the tip of the aravos. You got to start from the bottom. In this sefer Matei Ephraim, so they quote the Halachas Gedolos, writes in Hilchas Dalad Minim, based on the Gemara in Elo Trefus, that Hadassim should not be bigger than the size of a thumbnail. In recent years, they sell Hadassim that are gigantic, like from Texas, like twice as big. So they say you should really try to get smaller Hadassim. The leaves should be smaller because the Bahag holds that apostles b'dieved. So even though this Bahag is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch, but is what to be choshish for. The Mishnah describes a practice that they had that after they finished shaking lulav and esrog, they would put the lulav, the hadasim and aravos in a container of water to keep it fresh, that it shouldn't wither. So the later achrayim have a whole discussion. If you have an esrog that's mavushal, it's no good, or if you have an esrog that's kovush, it's no good. So kovish would be, let's say, have an esrog that's soaking in water for 24 hours. That's kovish kemevushal. That would be no good. So what if you put the lulav with the hadasim and aravos in a pot of water, and the bottom few inches is in the pot of the water, and you leave it there over Shabbos? You put it in Friday morning, you take it out Sunday morning. So there, almost 48 hours. So it's more than 24 hours. So do you say kovish kemevushal on the bottom of the lulav of hadasim and aravos to say that the bottom part is pasul? So kovish only says in the Gemara on food. The Gemara never says kovish on wood. This is just plain wood. This lulav on an esrog is food. So shayach to talk about kovish kemevushal. on a lulav and hadas min arava is probably not. So they quote, there's a Ramban who has something to say about it. So they had a manuscript of the Ramban. So they had two girsas, whether the Ramban says it is good or it's not good. Whether kovish kemavushal pasal by lulav hadas min arava sanan. This Dechemet quotes this whole discussion. Rabbi Yankov Emden has a chumer in Morik Tzia. When you have hadasim, you should try to see to it that you should get such hadasim that the tip of the leaves should reach the root of the leaf above it. Rosh Hashalzeh Magiel Letzad Ukta Shalzeh. A lot of times the leaves are not so big, and then you have an empty space on the stem of the hados where there are no leaves covering it at all. So he says, hadasim is supposed to be the whole stem of the hadas is supposed to be covered with the leaves going all the way up. So that's a hider to try to arrange like that. Then there's a hider that the stem of the arava should be red. That's atzeinu shulchan aruch. The kana should be red. Very often it's green, it's not red. Then some rishonim say lechatchila should be arve nachal, should grow by a river. The Gemara said beferish, even if it doesn't grow by a river, it's kosher. But lechatchila we try to fulfill pshuto shel mikra. So if it grows by river, is certainly better. On the second night, Rosh Hashanah, the Maharam Rutmerg introduced the practice that you have a pichorish in order to be sure that you're allowed to say Shehecha Yonim. Because some Rishonim hold, the Rosh quotes the whole Machlok, some Rishonim hold that you don't say Shehecha Yonim the second night of Rosh Hashanah, because it's Kedusha Achas, it's Yom HaRichto. So some people make a mistake. The Shari Tshuva next to the Behetu, because some make a mistake and they think that every Yantav Shein Shal Golias you have to have a pre chodesh to make sure that you have the right to say Shal Yonah. So he says that's a mistake. The Machlek is only on the second day of Rosh Hashanah because it's Kedush Achaz Yom HaRichto. And any other Yantav is a Sveik Adiyam. So of course he says Shal Yonah on the second night. So the Shari Tshuva says no, but it's not so poshut. Because the Gemara says, strictly speaking, when you put up your own sukkah, you can say Shachyanu when you build the sukkah. But rather than say Shachyanu at that time, you save the Shachyanu till you say Kiddush. So when you say Kiddush, the Shachyanu goes on the Yontif, and the Shachyanu goes on the fact that you built the sukkah. And it goes on the fact that you're Mekayim the mitzvah sukkah. The one Shachyanu where you would say three different chiyuvim. That every yontif he says shachyana, pesach shavuos sukkos rosh hashanah yom kippur he says shachyana because of the yontif, and abayna bais liatzma he says shachyana. So he says shachyana on asiyas hasukkah, and he says shachyana on yeshiva besukkah the first time in a year that you're fulfilling the mitzvah. So Tosfos holds that if you would have said shachyana when you built the sukkah, we save it till we say kiddush, so you enhance the chashivas of the bracha that it should be al hayayin. If you would have said the bracha when you built the sukkah, you would have been yotze for shachyana for yontif. You wouldn't have to say again Shachyana when you say Kiddush, because the construction of the sukkah was to lead up to Yontif. So that's what there's a big machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say the person didn't say Shachyana when he built the sukkah, but he said it in between building the sukkah. After he finished building the sukkah mitzvah Yom Kippur, then he said Shachyana on Friday, and sukkahs isn't until Monday and Tuesday. Are you yotze Shachyana in between? You didn't say the Shachyana b'shas asiyas hasukkah, and you didn't wait till Kiyam HaMitzvah, you didn't wait till Yom. You said it in between. So some hold that you're even in between. So that's why some poskim hold that when you say Shachyana the first night of sukkahs, even if you hold the second night is a Sveik HaDiyoyma, but the first night, even if yesterday was Chol, so you said Shachyana in between asiyas hasukkah and yeshiva b'sukkah, so you were yotze with last night's Shachyana. And even if last night was not Yontif, you yotze the Shachyana of Yontif for that. So that's what some Achrayim say. It's not so crazy. The Balabatim have a minute to have a Pichodosh the second night of Sukkot. Because according to some poskim, they were taka yotze with the Shachyana. There are some poskim, they were yotze with Shachyana from last night. Okay, everybody should have a good Yontif. Machzim Atoyv and a good Yontif Sukkot.